This is the 21st Show. I'm Brian Mackey. We are about 15 minutes away from Governor Pritzker delivering his State of the State address, where he lays out his fiscal and policy agenda for the coming budget year, which begins July 1st. Joining us now and throughout that broadcast today are two experts on Illinois government finances. David Merriman is the James J. Stuckel Presidential Professor in the College of Urban Planning and Public Affairs at the University of Illinois at Chicago. He's also co-lead of the Fiscal and Economic Policy Working Group at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs, which is a think tank spanning all three campuses of the University of Illinois. David, welcome back to the 21st Show.
Thanks. Nice to be here.
And Paula Worthington is a senior lecturer at the Harris School of Public Policy at the University of Chicago. She's also academic director of Harris Policy Labs within the school, but she's on leave this year working as a collaborating scholar with Professor Merriman and others at the Institute of Government and Public Affairs. Paula, welcome to the program to you as well. Thank you for being here.
Thanks very much. Happy to be here.
So I wonder if, to the extent you had a chance to hear what Speaker Welch and Leader McCombie had to say about some of the fiscal challenges that Illinois is facing this year, if there's anything you wanted to sort of react to what they were talking about. And David, I can begin with you.
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to hear much of what they said. I guess my general reaction is that we are in a relatively good place as a state in Illinois, certainly relative to where we've been over the last two decades or so. And the real challenge now is to use the relative fiscal stability to move forward on some of the longer term problems that the state's faced.
Paula Worthington, I guess similar question to you, or maybe I can just ask, what is your sort of baseline going into this budgeting process for Illinois' next fiscal year?
Sure. Thanks for the question. I certainly generally share Professor Merriman's general assessment that the state is in a pretty good spot compared certainly to where it had been over some preceding years. That said, I think there remain some longer term challenges in terms of debt obligations of different types, building reserves against future challenge. And I think I'm approaching this this budget cycle with questions in my mind about how will the governor recommend balancing the needs on the expenditure side against modest growth and no big changes on the revenue side. And so that's what I'm going to be kind of looking for and listening for in these next couple of hours.
Mm-hmm. David, the governor's office has said it expects to end the current fiscal year, June 30th, with a surplus of more than $400 million. And yet, at least back in November, the same governor's budget office estimated a shortfall of almost $900 million for the upcoming fiscal year. Now, I know that number is fluid. It can change depending on stock market performance, as well as, you know, any changes in law that the General Assembly might enact. But basically, how do you end up with such a massive swing? Plus 400 this year, minus 900 potentially next year.
Oh, this year versus this next year you're talking about, rather than what happened during the year.
I mean, either way, sure. Take it where you will.
I mean, I think one thing you have to understand is when the fiscal 24 budget was being prepared, you know, the consensus among economists was that the economy would slow down and that there was, you know, a high probability that we would enter a recession. Interest rates were high. The U.S. economy has performed, you know, incredibly well, incredibly better, I think, than my colleagues in the economics profession really expected. And so, you know, we're doing a bit better than fiscally. That makes a big difference fiscally. As opposed to next year, you know, one of the changes that's going to happen is, you know, it's still entirely possible, maybe even likely, that the economy will slow down or certainly not continue at the pace it's been going. And then the other thing is that we've exhausted a lot of the federal revenues virtually all of the federal revenues we got with the COVID boost, you know. And so I think that's, those are the kind of fiscal challenges the state faces, is to kind of continue with a much higher level of resources that it raises itself and depending less on the federal government.
Yeah, that COVID money really was a significant boost to the state's finances in the past few years. Right. And you know, during that time, Paula, we saw Illinois get a number of credit upgrades. I think it was 9 in the past couple of years. It's one of those things that I think you hear about a lot in news coverage, but I wonder if you can put that, like, what does that matter for the everyday Illinoisan listening to us now on the program? Why should they care about Illinois' credit rating?
Sure, that's a great question. The state has benefited from multiple upgrades over the last few years, and that translates into decreased need for paying interest on debt issued by the state. So that is a budget easer in a lot of ways, and that should then free up resources to support other priorities of the governor, the legislature, and the state. That said, I think it's important to remember that, you know, like the S&P rating, for example, Illinois is still the lowest rated state in the country. So for general obligation bonds. So there's still a lot of room for improvement going forward. Not that I think that is a necessary sort of key objective that might be part of budget plans, but you certainly want to keep in mind that decreasing interest costs on outstanding debt or any debt you plan to issue is going to be easier to the extent that the credit ratings remain strong or are even improved.
Let me remind listeners, this is the 21st show. We are about 10 minutes away from Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker delivering his annual joint State of the State and budget message to the Illinois General Assembly. We are talking about the state of Illinois' financial health with David Merriman and Paula Worthington, two academics, David with the University of Illinois at Chicago, and Paula Worthington with the Harris School of Public Policy at the University of Chicago, but they are both working through the Institute of Government and Public Affairs this year, which is a joint think tank for the campuses of the University of Illinois system. And again, we are about, now 9 minutes away from the governor's speech. One of the major spending pressures you often hear a lot about in Illinois, not just in the years, but really in the decades ahead, are pension contributions. They have been on a long ramp upward through 2045. We may hear the governor today proposing to change how that is done through 2048. But every dollar that's spent shoring up funding for the pensions of retired teachers and state troopers and state university professors and, full disclosure, public radio journalists employed by state universities, such as myself, every dollar there is one less dollar that can be spent on educating the next generation, fixing bridges. Experts call this crowding out. It's been a low-level headache of state government for almost a generation now, maybe even two generations. David, I wonder, do you see any politically palatable constitutional ways of addressing this crowding out issue in the years ahead?
I really don't. I guess I'm perhaps maybe a little even out of the mainstream on this, and that I kind of feel like we've made the changes we've made in the pension policy, and we're actually pretty stable. The pension, the unfunded pension liabilities are pretty stable right now, which you might think of as a bad thing. They're large. But on the other hand, the economy is growing. So it's a share of the economy, it's a share of the budget. The payments we have to make are actually shrinking. And they're probably going to continue to shrink unless really bad things happen in the economy over the next couple of decades. We've got a tier two pension system, which is much less generous than the old pension system. And that is more than paying its way. So I think, we're going to keep spending. Right now we're spending, as much as a quarter or 20% of the general fund budget on pensions. I think we're going to continue doing that, and we've sort of adjusted to it. I think I would not characterize it as a problem that really needs a policy solution right now. The solution right now to me is just to hold steady and not make this mistake in the future of allowing pension debt to accumulate as much as it did in the past.
Paula, David said he was a little maybe out of the mainstream on that. Do you want to join him there, or do you dissent from his take?
Sure. Well, as an economist, you know, I have a, on the one hand and on the other hand, kind of response. Yes.
John McCain used to say that he really wanted a one-handed economist.
That's right. I agree with Professor Merriman that at the moment things seem fairly stable. And I do want to emphasize there is a fair amount of work going on inside the profession to consider stabilizing pensions through the lens of how big relative to the overall economy. None of these state pensions is on the cusp of really on the cusp of running out of funds to meet its obligations to current retirees or those who retire in the next few years. And to some extent, we have already made the adjustment in terms of devoting, like David said, 20-25% of general funds spending to pension contributions. I do want to point out the one comment that Professor Merriman made towards the end there about let's not make this mistake again. Can't emphasize enough that any kind of policy deliberation or conversation or suggestion related to pensions in the state needs to be really analyzed carefully and thoroughly and vetted for the likely impact on the trajectory of needed contributions, payouts, funding ratios, and the like. There have been multiple proposals put out there about making even further adjustments to Tier 2 pension arrangements and the like, and it's really important to get into the weeds and make sure you do a good analysis based on serious actuarial information before making a policy choice there.
Just a couple, and if, go ahead, yeah.
I'm sorry, and if I could just chime in with one other thing, although you know, I'm pretty optimistic on the state pensions. I think we have to realize that there are really some dangers with respect to local pensions, particularly Chicago, the Chicago pension system. And that's an area which, although it might seem like a local government problem, if local governments can't sort of handle their pension debt, the state, I'm afraid the state will be, you know, have to come in and clean up the mess a bit. So,
yeah. All right. Well, we are going to end the 21st show program now for stations that are staying with us for live coverage of the governor's speech. Stay right there, and that will begin right at noon. I want to thank David Merriman and Paula Worthington, who, again, will be sticking with us if your NPR station is staying with our live coverage of the governor's speech. But David and Paula, thank you so far, and I will talk to you in a few minutes.
Great.
Thank you.
Again, if your NPR station is staying with us for the governor's speech, stay tuned. That will begin in about 3 minutes. Coming up tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking about a proposal that's been introduced in the Illinois General Assembly that would end the ability for communities to have single-family home zoning requirements. It's sure to be controversial, and we'll be talking about that proposal tomorrow here on the 21st show. Our program is produced by Christine Hatfield and Jose Zepeda. Damian Contreras is our digital producer. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Again, stay with us. We will have live coverage of Governor J.B. Pritzker's budget message and State of the State address coming up in 2 minutes on this NPR station. I'm Brian Mackey. The 21st Show is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening.